So dear brothers and sisters, it's a great honour for me to be able to speak to you today on this day of retreat for especially all of our women gathered here who have taken the time, a weekend, or for those who can manage, for those who weren't able to manage the full weekend, those who came just for today, taking some time aside for the Lord. It's a busy life out there. It's a distracting life out there. And as soon as you get one thing finished, there's another four things to do. And then once you have those four things to do, there's another 10 things to do, and then you sleep. Interruptedly. Then rinse and repeat. Following day, out you go again, and there's always something to do. There's always something. Do you ever feel like you're just kind of constantly maybe 4, 5, 10 steps behind where you're supposed to be? And if you just get those 10 things done, you'll be kind of caught up, and then you kind of catch up to where you're supposed to be, and you look ahead, there's 10 more things to do. Sound familiar to anybody? And no matter how much time we have, no matter how much time you're able to free up in your day, you're always 10 steps behind where you're supposed to be. It's very much like being a donkey with someone sitting on your back with the fishing rod and the carrot, you know? It's like no matter where you are, you're just always slightly behind where you're supposed to be. Always kind of chasing life. Always chasing life. The Lord, on the other hand, calls us to come to Him. He calls us to sit at His feet. And it's not that Martha did a bad job. I mean, Martha had to get stuff done. I mean, they had to eat, you know. So Martha wasn't bad. She was doing something important. But Mary had chosen the better part. And we can't be Mary all the time. We can't spend all of our days in the Adoration Chapel. Sometimes, yes, there are hungry people at home. But today we're all Mary. Or you're all Mary. You're all Marys. Today we're getting some time at the Lord's feet where we can just listen and receive and maybe experience, hopefully, the Lord's healing and the Lord's consolation. I've said this before, I think it's so important in our church to present what we have, present our faith, and especially the two sacraments of healing, to present them as such, as sacraments of healing, and to present our faith in terms of consolation and freedom, not in terms of join our church, we've got loads of rules for you. You know, join our church and you have even more things that you have to do so you can feel even further behind in your life. No, it's join our church so that you can experience life and life to the full and that we can experience how we're carried by the Lord. Because if we never feel this being carried by the Lord, if we never live that, the chances are we'll try to do everything ourselves. And it's a lonely existence and it's a frustrating existence. When we're trying to do everything ourselves, then it's just you, possibly versus the world. You're on your own. But you've managed so far, so maybe it's not the worst thing. Yeah, but things aren't really improving either. I mean, are they? Maybe things are getting slightly worse, but they're manageably worse. They're worse, but they're not critical yet. So we're holding it all together, aren't we? We're doing okay, aren't we? Kind of? Barely? Do you know, or like we were talking yesterday about, like when things aren't going so well, the masks have to go up because the show goes on. There are still people, little people to be brought to school. There are still jobs to be done. You still have a career to bring forward. You're still working as a teacher, nurse, whatever you're doing. There's still stuff to be done. So there's no time for self-pity. There's no time for the realization of what's actually going on in your heart. There isn't time because there's stuff to be done. Masks on, get on with it. But then you know what it's like last thing at night if you've got the time before you fall asleep. If you're able to fall asleep, when the head suddenly has time to process the day. Do you know that you know when you get into bed, now maybe by the time you get there you're so wrecked you can just go. But for a lot of people, it's only when you kind of lie down and there's that last sigh, the last sigh of the day. Do you ever have that? You kind of get into bed and it's just like that. Am I revealing too much about my own life here? The last sigh of the day. And it's then that the brain can kind of start going. About the day and everything that happened and everything that didn't happen, everything that should have happened, everything you didn't get to yet. Then the phone comes out, I better write this down so I don't forget to do it tomorrow. Contact that person. Actually, while I'm there, I'll contact them now and send a few WhatsApps and get them out off the list, you know. And like the brain just kicks in because you've all these things left to do, all these things left to con. I mean, like people you said you'd pray for, you didn't pray for. Out comes the rosary, and it's just not necessarily restful. Okay, we're not bad people. We're not doing the wrong thing as such. But I think we might be approaching things wrongly. Because the approach here, the attitude here, is that you're on your own. The fundamental thought here is that it's you that has to do all these things. And that we do them effectively alone. And this is the problem. This is the danger. Because it's a no-win situation. It's a lose-lose situation. Because say you do succeed in getting all those things off your immensely long checklist. Say you achieve them all. You get them all done. I did pretty well, didn't I? And say you don't get them done. I'm the worst person in the world. I mean, I forgot to pray for that person. I forgot to pick up my child from school. Would never happen. Yeah. I forgot to do all these things. Right? So I haven't achieved. So then either way, if we get everything done, it leads us to pride. And if we get nothing done, it leads us to misery and self-deprecation. You're the worst mother in the world. So it's a no-win situation to face our lives on our own. But that was never the way it was meant to be. It was never meant to be that way. We were always supposed to walk with the Lord. Live from his grace. Serve him in all we do. That's how things were always supposed to be. That we live from him. It's why when we receive the Eucharist, it's not just a mere external symbol or a coming together of the family to enjoy a moment of celebration or something. We're receiving God. So God living in us. The Holy Spirit is supposed to dwell in us. And then we live from that grace. But see, the grace of God doesn't work despite us. It will work with us. So you can't force a blessing on them. I can't bless you really, really hard. You know? If you don't want God's grace, the grace does bounce off us. If we don't want his help, we don't have to have it. But then you find yourself alone, facing everything that needs to be done. And then, of course, the examples I made there, they're only the ordinary things of the day. But there are extraordinary things as well when someone, a parent or a child, is sick. Now there's a whole other demand on your time and on your mental space that you thought you were busy just trying to survive the day. What about now when this is added? What about when there's addiction in the family? What about when there's grief? Now you're in a whole other ball game. You thought things were tough last year. But we were never meant to face these things alone. I think part of it, it's a human instinct. All of us try to save ourselves. That's not a bad thing. You know, whenever we go to Medjugorje, I'm always very clear, especially with the older ladies. Okay, when you were climbing Cross Mountain or Križevac, or a couple of things, okay? Ladies, no open back sandals. Are you mental? Right? You're going uphill with open back sandals. How do you think that's going to go? Your feet, your sandals stay put and you don't. Okay, no open back sandals. Secondly, free hands. Okay, none of this handbag in one hand, bottle of water in the other. What do you think is going to happen when you're going to fall, right? Oh, don't want to dirty the handbag, don't want to damage the bottle, right? And you go down on your face. Free hands, people, okay? Walking stick, possibly. I don't care what age you are. It's always beneficial. Walking stick, free hand. If you go to fall, it's the natural instinct. Put your hand out to protect yourself, okay? Protect those wonderful dentures. Okay? But it's a natural instinct to want to protect ourselves. And it's a good instinct. The interesting thing about this instinct is it has a flip side or a negative side to it too. I was reading an article recently about a nightclub in Chicago. It was back in 2003. The nightclub's called E2, apparently. And some less than ideal young fella sprayed pepper spray in one of the upper floors of the nightclub, and then it started to filter down through, and it created a stampede. This is in 2003, so it's a modern building, I imagine, plenty of exits. But 21 people were killed in the stampede. And it's only pepper spray. I mean, it's uncomfortable, but it's not going to kill you. But it's just the panic. The panic sets in. You know, and everyone starts running. So because everyone starts running, everyone starts running. Someone falls, but you actually can't pick them up because you're getting pushed by the crowd that's coming as well. 21 people killed in the stampede in the 21st century in a first world country. But it's because of why? Because of this desire. I need to be safe. I need to be secure. And at times, this desire, this need to be safe, trumps other people's needs. This is what leads to so much family hurt or even addiction. My need to be safe, my need to survive, trumps other people's needs. So this striving for safety can lead us to actually hurt one another. I need to feel safe, and so my needs trump yours. In a family situation, this is tragic. This is horrendous. But what's the root cause of it? Well, the root cause is I want to be safe, you know? So what does it mean to want to be safe? Well, how do we create our safe spaces? Our safe spaces can often involve putting up a wall. No one's welcome. Thank you very much. Close for business. Come back another day. I'm okay. So are you. So you stay on your side of the wall. I'll stay on mine. All is good. Don't need you. Okay? Self-sufficient. But that's not necessarily what you believe, but that's what you're presenting. Wall is up. And you're not welcome. Thank you. Bye now. Okay? I wouldn't say it looks good. It looks okay. But inside, what you've got is brokenness that you don't want anyone to go near. You're creating this fake security. You're striving for safety. But to do so, you're keeping everybody else out. Another way of striving for safety is to numb that pain. I feel safe when I'm numb, because then I don't have to deal with reality. So I numb myself through alcohol, through distraction, through phones, through TV, through just anything, work. Just work constantly. Then I don't have to think. Keep moving. Keep doing the next thing. As long as I'm busy, I don't have to think, which is great, until I collapse. Because physically or mentally, I can't go on anymore. So that's not a solution either. The striving for safety leads us to close ourselves off. And life becomes very, very lonely. But you have to get on with things, don't you? Because it's like you're on this treadmill. Like, things just keep coming. Life just keeps happening. So you have to just do the next thing. But the striving for safety, if not done in the right way, can absolutely isolate us. So let's finish with a positive note. Rather than doing all of that, what are we supposed to do? What is the Lord asking us to do? Well, Geraldine, if you want to stand up for a wee second there and turn around, I think everybody would like to see Baba. Would you mind? That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to trust the Lord and go, exactly, trust the Lord as a child and go to him. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to live our day in union with him. Us in him, him in us. So that means in everything, in every situation, in every pain, tension, rejection, hurt, loss, we say, Lord, how are we going to manage this? What should we do? Am I getting in your way, Lord? Is there anything you want me to do differently? How do you want to bless me through this? Rather than just striving for safety by pushing everyone out, we strive for safety by running into the arms of our Father. That's a different kind of safety altogether. Because it's a safety that doesn't exclude or push people away or isolate ourselves. But it's a safety rooted in God who is love, in God who is Father, in God who wishes to do all things for us, in God who wishes to take care of us. Now that's a solution worth trying. And that way we can actually do both. We can be Mary and Martha. We can do what we need to do for our families and serve them, which is takes up probably 80% of your day. And there's still time for the Lord. How and why? Because everything throughout the day was done with him. Now, that's very hard to do consciously. Well, maybe you can. I can't. I can't do that consciously. I think every now and again I'm reminded of it. Then I say, Lord, I offer up this morning for you, for whatever situation I'm praying for. At the time, I wasn't thinking of it, you know, because you're focused on getting your grammar right and getting the details right or whatever you're doing. You're focused on, the particular job. But we can retrospectively offer our day, our morning, the last week to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to live with you. I want to live this life with you. Why is this important? Because that's preparation for heaven, where we live with him in the most profound way. We share the inner life of the Trinity. So living with the Lord today is preparation for heaven. It also prevents this striving for safety which excludes others. It gives us hope. It renews our joy. And it provides a source of grace and strength which doesn't come just from us. So we ask the Lord today to renew and heal our hearts, to renew and heal any wounds that are the recognition of our need for him, for his grace, for his consolation. We ask him to heal any self-sufficiency or any fear which causes us to isolate ourselves. We place our hearts, our homes, and all those we love in your hands, Jesus. And we ask that we may live each day with and for the glory of your Father and our Father. Amen.